Report to John all that you have seen. The blind will see. The lame will walk. Lepers will be cleansed. The deaf will hear. The dead will rise. Good news will be proclaimed to the poor. I want us to think briefly and boldly this morning about the topic of the miraculous. It was long predicted before Jesus came to us in the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found in the Qumran that the Messiah would heal the sick, that he would raise the dead, that he would serve the poor in a radical way. Yet we know that Jesus was no showman. He wasn't interested in promoting himself at all. He wasn't particularly interested, I don't believe, in miracles. He was interested in people and meeting those people at their need, loving them and serving them with a heart of mercy. And Jesus had such a heart of mercy. When he saw need, he had to act. He had to act. I want to propose this morning, perhaps boldly, that miracles do happen today, but that the ultimate miracle is Jesus. This morning, I want us to wrestle with the notion that Jesus is alive and supernaturally at work in our world, intervening where there is injustice. Miracles do happen today, but Jesus is the ultimate miracle. I find this happens quite often when I'm preparing a sermon. I stumbled upon another sermon on a similar topic that said what I wanted to say far more eloquently in a 3-minute version. So Chris is going to play that video for us now. This is just while it's loading up. This is a pastor called John Wimber, some of you may be familiar with. And this is his experience of becoming a Christian and joining a church. Let's do the stuff. In so many respects, we are already doing the stuff of Jesus. Finn came back from Who Let the Dads Out yesterday, absolutely waxing lyrical about what a wonderful morning it had been, what a mission and a ministry it was to the dads in our town. Make lunch, feeding hungry children in holidays, Alpha proclaiming the good news, luncheon club, doing something small to prevent the scourge of loneliness in our town. This is the stuff of Jesus. We are doing the stuff. But let's be brave. Let's look again at some of the other stuff that Jesus did and said. The sick were healed. The lame walked. The deaf heard. The mute spoke. Miracles do happen today. But the ultimate miracle is always Jesus. And perhaps you're sitting here listening to this thinking, I'm okay with feeding the poor. I can get on board with that. That's in my comfort zone. Let's do that. But healing the sick, that makes me nervous. I'm not so sure. Perhaps you do believe, or you did believe, but you've been praying for a miracle for a really long time. And frankly, you've not seen it happen. Many of you here know a big part of my testimony was the wonderful woman who essentially brought me to faith, who had a phenomenal healing ministry of her own, opened a healing rooms in Oban, saw scores of people walk in sick and walk out healed, diagnosed with terminal cancer in her 40s, battled bravely for 8 years, and then died, leaving 2 small children. I believe she is in glory, yes. I believe ultimately she has her healing, yes. But bluntly, that wasn't what we were hoping for. It wasn't what we were praying for. We wanted to see the stuff. Miracles happen today, but they're not the thing on which we base our faith. Our faith is based on the ultimate miracle, which is Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, and with the understanding that I know the pain of that unanswered prayer, I share the following story with you, but I don't share it lightly. Prior to training for ordination, I was working at a different church where I had a part to play in the youth ministry there. And I worked with some incredible teenage girls. They were just mind-blowing in their faith. We were running to keep up with them as leaders. They were streets ahead. And there was one girl called Sophie. And Sophie was beautiful, is beautiful, inside and out. Just a wonderful, faithful, kind, generous girl. And we'd been praying for Sophie for years, for healing. Sophie had one leg considerably shorter than the other. Now, this is not life-threatening, of course. This wouldn't actually have done her any considerable physical damage over the course of her life. But for a young teenage girl, when all she wanted was to fit in with her friends and get on with life, this was crippling. It was crippling to her sense of self-worth, to her self-esteem, to her ability to interact with people. She couldn't play sports. She had to wear the ugliest shoes you've ever seen because one had an insert. For a teenage girl, this was devastating. We'd prayed with Sophie more times than I can tell you, almost on a weekly basis for years and years and years. And we'd persisted in prayer and we had not seen that prayer answered. And it was hard. Why? God is good and she was faithful. We pray, we stand in the gap. It was frustrating. One Friday, I arrived at youth, and there was an enormous fuss. And it took quite a while to work out what was going on and to tease out. And there were groups of girls crying, and people were hugging. And eventually, it reached my ears. Sophie had been healed. Now, in that moment, I don't mind telling you, I was blessed with a supernatural gift of cynicism that went deep into my heart. I just couldn't wrap my head around it. I couldn't engage with that possibility. And then Sophie walked up onto the staged area, and she was crying so hard she could barely speak. And she began to share a story of how she'd been with a few of her friends, and yet again they had decided, should we pray? And so she had lain down, and her friends had touched her leg, put their hands on, and just simply prayed, probably with no faith in their hearts, like I had lost faith for her healing. And the simple story is her leg grew. And as she was telling this story, I was trying to wrap my head around it. And I looked at her, and I looked down, and I realized she was barefoot. And she was standing with her hips square on the stage. And there was me, with zero faith, looking at it, seeing it with my own eyes, and still struggling to believe. That's why I have very little truck when people say, if God just showed himself, we would believe. Well, God has shown himself, but there's a step of faith involved. There was Sophie standing, hips square, no shoes on, healed. I was seeing and yet not quite believing. And then I realized I had a choice to make. I wasn't there when her leg grew. I didn't see it with my own eyes. But I was reminded of the teaching I'd heard on Alpha. Our justice system works exactly the same way. Juries are presented with evidence. And without having seen it with their own eyes, they have to make a choice. I had a choice to make. Did I believe God was actually that good? Sophie obviously did. So I decided, who was I to question that? Miracles really do happen today. But critically, the miracle is Jesus. I'll share a mini miracle with you. I wrote this sermon quite a while ago. I'm preaching something like 11 times in December, so I figured I had to get ahead of myself. And I'd written this much of the sermon, and I needed to go. I had an interment of ashes to do down at All Saints. And I got in the car to drive down, and I was really wrestling with whether or not to share the story that I've just shared with you this morning. I was asking God to speak into if this was the right thing to do or not. Was it the right time? I met the lovely couple whose mother's ashes I was interring, and I've met them before because I interred their father's ashes only a few months ago. And so we got to chatting, having already built something of a relationship, and I realized as we were chatting that they were committed Christians worshipping not far from here. And out of nowhere, the lady puts her hand on my arm. She says, I just must tell you, only a couple of weeks ago, someone in our congregation with one leg shorter than the other was prayed for and they were healed. And I thought, all right, God, I'll take that. I'll take that to be a green light. God is a God of miracles. The miraculous happens today. The way I believe God works his healing miracles primarily is through us, is through doctors and nurses, through advances in science, through medicine. You walk the corridors of a hospital, God is healing everywhere. God primarily wants to work through us and with us. In our GP surgeries. But sometimes, just sometimes, he seems to cut through the material for reasons we will never understand and heal supernaturally. But we have to have a depth of Christian maturity in this. We have to be able to look on the mess of this world and the hurting of those that we love and acknowledge that this doesn't always happen in the way we want, or in the time we want, or if it happens at all. But miracles are real. My darling aunt didn't get her healing. And that really hurts. That really hurts. But I try not to let it shake my faith. I try really hard. Because my faith is not in miracles. The Christian faith is not rooted in miracles. It is rooted in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. So what do we do? How do we hold this tension, this now and this not yet? We know that God's desire is to heal. How do we be conduits of that healing? Well, obviously through prayer, through support. Healing, of course, is not just physical, emotional, compassion, listening quietly. And we encourage each other. I preached this sermon at the 8:30 service this morning, and it was so encouraging for me, having been quite nervous coming about this topic. A few people came up to me afterwards and said, "Do you know, I think I saw a miracle once. Or I think something happened to me once that was supernatural." When we begin to share the stories of the goodness of God, you realize just how many there are. I want to read some graffiti to you that was found in a basement wall in Germany in 1945, where a Jewish believer was hiding from the Gestapo. And this, to me, perhaps holds that tension beautifully. "I believe in the sun, even when it isn't shining. I believe in love, even when I am alone. I believe in God, even when he is silent. We believe that the ultimate miracle, the one on which we hang our hat, is the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. That is the basis of our faith. That is the miracle by which we choose to live. We believe that miracles are real, but our faith is not in the miracle. And I believe the passage that we heard read from Matthew this morning isn't about the healings that Jesus performed in his lifetime. It's about the ultimate healing that we all find in him, our forgiveness, our freedom. It's about the character of God who loves us so much, he desperately wants to break in and through. Matthew wants to be abundantly clear. It is about Jesus. He is the one who has come. And in this season of Advent, it is Jesus that we are waiting for and longing for. We live in the here and now, yes, but Advent calls us to consider what will be, that there will be a time where we no longer need to pray for healing because we will be made whole again. We will be one with our Maker again. We may not always see the answers to prayer that we long for, but we do know with a sure and a certain hope that we'll be raised to glory with Christ because of him, the one whom we are now waiting for. Let us pray. God, give us faith to know that you are good in all circumstances. We rejoice that you do perform miracles, that you do break in through the material of our world. And we stand by those who are longing for their miracle in prayer and in comfort. We ask that you would draw very close to them in this wrestle. In Jesus' name, amen.